Amen. Well, for all of our guests that are with us here this morning, God bless you. So great to have you here at Coweta Assembly. For all of our home folks, we just love you and grateful to be able to pastor you, and we're thankful for us all being able to be together in God's house. I want to just jump right into His Word. We're in a series right now, and the title of the series is So Goes the Heart. Now, I would encourage every one of you, if you haven't heard the other messages, you can go online, you can go to our podcast, you can download those for free, you can listen to them, because they certainly do flow together. However, every single message, if this is your first time to be with us, every message can stand by itself. But I am in a series that really is talking about our hearts and how our hearts will take us in a life. The crux of this series is this: the depth of your daily relationship with God determines the path in which your heart is going to take you. We've been standing on Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and the scripture says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." We have learned that it is highly valuable to guard our hearts, to guard what's going inside of our lives each and every day, from what we see, what we hear, what we're listening to, what we're talking about, what our conversations are like, what we're pondering, what we're reading, what we're surrounding ourselves with, the things that happen, whether they're controlled or uncontrolled. There are a lot of things that are pouring into our lives each and every day, and all of it is a part of our heart's daily nourishment. We kind of laid that out in week number one. Then last week, we started on a journey with one of Judah's kings, and his name is King Asa. Now, as we go back into this ancient story today, I certainly want to take you to his battlefield. I certainly want your minds to go with me. When we talk about the battle lines being drawn, you go there with me, and you see King Asa, and you see Judah, and you see Benjamin. You see how they come against those that are coming against them. Let your mind go there. But also, I want to take your mind to your battlefield. You see, our lives are not going to look like what's taking place here in the Old Testament. We're not going to be putting hundreds of thousands of men in front of each other and going to battle with sword and spears here today. But how many of you know in our lives there's a spiritual battle that's taking place all the time? There's spiritual warfare that's happening. There's that light fighting against that darkness. There's God fighting against the evil that's trying to take us out in our lives. So as we go through this message here today, yes, an ancient story, but very relevant in how it speaks to our lives today and our own battles, our own families, our own circumstances, the things that we have going on in our lives. And so as we go there together today, go there with me in such a manner. Now, as we said last week, King Asa, he was one of the very few kings that Scripture says who did good and right in the eyes of the Lord. We know that he ruled Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, after they had split up. We had the northern kingdom and the 10 tribes, which was Israel, the two southern tribes, which was made up of Judah and Benjamin. We know that King Asa ruled Judah for 41 years. Now, before him, his father and his grandfather ruled. We talked a lot about his father last week, King Abijah, and then, of course, his grandfather, Rehoboam. Under King Rehoboam and King Abijah, we know that that's when Judah, the people of Judah, really began to turn away from the Lord. No longer did they seek him. No longer did they read of his scripture. No longer did they apply themselves to his ways. They began to take in the pagan worship of the nations that were surrounding them. They were following in the steps of their brothers and sisters up in the northern kingdom of Israel as they began to have worship to false gods. And so we see their hearts really turning away from God during the reign of King Asa's grandfather and his father. So when King Asa comes to the scene, as we learned last week, there is an awakening that takes place inside of him. And with that spiritual awakening, he begins to speak into the lives of his nation in which he leads. He commands them to seek the Lord. He's getting them to turn their attention back on him, therefore that they would receive the blessings that he would have for them in their lives. The scripture told us that as he became the king, he began to remove all the foreign altars and all the pagan shrines from the land. And then he had the people to begin to seek the Lord. In doing so, scripture recorded that there was peace for the first 10 years of his reign. And then we see here in our passage today that came to a stop just for a moment before it kicked back in. So I want to pick up the scripture here, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse number 7, with a thought in mind, whomever or whatever you are seeking, so goes your heart. Let's see how King Asa continues to seek the Lord. Verse number 7. So King Asa, he says to Judah, this is in that 10 years of peace. He's taken advantage of it. He says, let us build these cities and surround them with walls and towers and gates and bars, because the land is still ours, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us peace on every side. So scripture says, they built and they prospered. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah. They were armed with large shields and spears, and 280,000 men from Benjamin that carried the shields and drew bows. All of these were mighty men of valor. So during that season, they continued to build, they continued to increase, they continued to become the people God desired for them to be. And then in verse number 9, we have a season of change. It says, Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men, 300 chariots, and came as far as Maresha. And Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up their lines of battle in the valley of Zephathah and at Maresha. And King Asa cried to the Lord his God. He said, O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God, and let not man prevail against you. So here he is, seeking the Lord, trusting the Lord, knowing the battle is the Lord's. What happens? Verse number 12. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians, they fled. Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar, and the Ethiopians, they fell until no one remained alive, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. The men of Judah, they carried away much spoil, and they attacked all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord was upon them. They plundered all the cities, for there was much plunder in them, and they struck down the tents of those who had livestock and carried away the sheep in abundance and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem. So yes, I know, again, it's an intense battle scene. But when those who tried to come against the Lord wanted to prevail against God's people, God would not allow that to happen. And you see how God's people are well taken care of. Let's go ahead and jump into chapter 15. I think it's important. Verse number 1. Then it says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and all Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he is going to be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, for a long time, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the word, without the law. But when in their distress, when they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and when they sought him, he was found by them. When I read an Old Testament story such as this, and I see the intensity, and I see the violence, and I see all that's taken place, it's a little bit overwhelming. But I want you to see in the middle of that God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace, and God's heart for his people. Because even at their worst moments, in his love and in his mercy and in his grace, when the people turned back to him, even though it was out of a cry of desperation, when they knew where to go, God was always there and available, willing to reach out his hand and to help his people in hopes that this would be the time when they would turn back fully to him. Verse 5. In those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in, for great disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands, the surrounding nations. They were broken in pieces. Nation was crushed by nation, city by city, for God had troubled them with every sort of distress. But you, Judah, you take courage. Do not let your hands be weak, for what you're doing, your passion, your heart, your spiritual reformation, the work that's taking place here, what you're doing, it will be rewarded. Now the story goes on to say in verse 8, as soon as Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Azariah, the son of Oded, he took courage. And he put away the detestable idols from all the land of Judah and also of Benjamin and from the cities that they had taken in the hill country of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the vestibule of the house of the Lord. It says he gathered all of Judah and all of Benjamin and those from Ephraim and Manasseh and Simon who were residing with them, for great numbers from these nations had deserted theirs to come to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Then it says in verse 10, they were gathered at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And here they have a big celebration and a big worship to the Lord. They sacrificed on the Lord that day the spoil that they from the spoil that they hadn't gotten, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. They entered into this covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. But that whoever did not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should put them to death, whether young, old, man, or woman. Again, we read that, we're like, ouch. Okay, that's pretty severe. Again, we got to take the time and the period in which this has been written. Verse 14, and all of Judah, they rejoiced, they worshiped, they praised, they took an oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and had sought him with their whole desire. And as they did that, they found him, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Now, let me go ahead and finish this out, just a few more verses. And say, and even Maacah, remember, this was his grandmother, King Asa removed from being the queen mother because she had made that detestable image for Asherah. Remember last week, Kings told us this. Asa cut down her image, crushed it, burned it, but the high places, they were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, King Asa, king of Judah, king of Benjamin, the heart of Asa was wholly true all of his days. He brought into the house of God the sacred gifts, the silver, the gold, the vessels, and there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of King Asa. 10 years peace, a battle, and now we got several more years of peace because of his heart that he had for the Lord. Now this morning, what I want you to see is King Asa and the people of Judah act upon and follow the transformation that's taken place within their lives. They begin to experience the goodness and the fullness of God's blessings individually and collectively. How many of you know this morning when you turn your heart genuinely toward God, you cannot help but to receive all of the fullness that he has for your life? That's just who he is. When you turn to God, God's going to pour into your life. He's going to pour the blessings. He's going to pour a challenge. He's going to pour a correction. He's going to pour a call. He's just going to pull all that he has for you upon you when you decide that you're going to turn towards him. When you turn with all of your heart, you're going to receive what God has for you. There are several things that are mentioned here in this passage. I'm really going to focus for a little while on one, then we'll add the others to it. And the first blessing that we see here is that of peace. You see this all in this passage and obviously in the reign of King Asa. What this shows us today is that seeking the Lord and turning your hearts toward God will always bring a peace to your life that goes beyond anything that this world can offer. How many of you know there's a lot of things that are being offered today that would supposedly bring us peace? People are looking to so many things. They're looking to certain substances to have a peace of mind and a peace in their physical body and a peace in their emotions. They're looking to relationships. Some even look to things outside of relationships, such as some type of activity, as maybe a sport, or maybe going out and golfing on a nice day, or out fishing out upon a lake. Now, not everything I'm talking about is necessarily bad. There's a lot of things out there that are people trying to find peace of mind, peace of heart, just to get themselves where they can steady their emotions. As good as some of that may be, how many of you know that a true peace is only going to come from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Because when you have a peace going on inside of here, it's going to impact you in a powerful way. Seeking the Lord and turning your heart towards God leads to peace with him. It's going to lead to peace with ourselves. It's going to lead to peace with others. The peace that we're talking about here this morning, it's a peace that brings rest physically and spiritually. It is a peace that rises above any adversity that would come in our lives. I didn't say adversity won't come. I said it is a peace that rises above the adversity that is in our lives. It is a peace that helps us to overcome the hurt. It is a peace that steadies the emotion. It is a peace that secures our steps along the way. It is a peace that will govern our heart within. It is a peace that gives us the confidence to not only know, but also proclaim that God is with us, and he's with us at all times on every single side. You see, when I read this ancient story and I saw that God's hand was upon them, I saw that portion of scripture where it says, and he gave them rest on all sides. How many want that type of peace in your life? That no matter what the battle is, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what it is in which you are faced, you know that as you are walking with God, he surrounds you, is what that is saying. He surrounds you with his peace, and that peace enables you to continue to move forward in a strong way. Now, for you and I, the New Testament believer, we have Christ. And through Christ, the peace that we're talking about, we certainly have it upon our lives. Let me just give you some scripture here. Scripture is way better than any word that I could ever personally give you. John chapter 14, verse 27 says this, "Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every single circumstance and give you a courage and a strength for every single challenge." I got to step back and say, thank you, Lord, for that word, because that's the peace that I need in my life. Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. "For those who are living according to the flesh, they will set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those things are to gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit, they will set their minds on the things of the Spirit, on God's will and upon God's purpose. Now we know that the mind of the flesh, that is death, both now and forever, because that's the type of life that's going to run after sin. But the mind of the Spirit, it is life and it is peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God both now and forever." Again, praise God for such a peace. We consider Paul's greeting and his conclusion to the letter of the believers in the church of Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, he starts this letter by saying, "Grace to you and peace, that inner calm and spiritual well-being from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." He's praying that over them. And when he concludes, he does the same thing. In chapter 13, verse 11, he says, "Finally, believers, I want you to rejoice. Be made complete. Be what you should be. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. Enjoy the spiritual well-being experienced by believers who walk closely with God." And the God of love and peace, the source of loving kindness, he's going to be with you. I got to give you a couple more. When you look and see what happens when you turn and seek the Lord with all your heart, you go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, that peace is yours." That's the peace that I want. How do I guard my heart? Because going back to our scripture at the very beginning, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says to guard your heart. How do you and I guard our hearts? We allow the peace of God to come inside of us through the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. And we yield to that. And we're sensitive to that. And we allow that peace to govern our lives. And that peace is yours and I's to take, because God has freely given it to us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. "Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that will arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers, and be thankful to God always." So what this comes down to is a phrase that I use often. I use it during the week, I use it in conversation, and I'm certainly sure that I've used it several times behind the pulpit. And that is this: vertical peace enables you and I to have a horizontal peace. When I'm at peace with God in the very depths of my heart, that enables me to have peace with everything else that's going on in life. Amen. Things that I can control and things that I cannot control, but it allows me to have peace. Those hurts, those adversity, that darkness, it allows me to have peace. When I'm at peace here, it just works better this way. When God is truly, truly governing my life, when that peace is in my heart and I'm following the steps in which my heart is taking me, it's going to help in my conversations. It's going to help in my daily relationship. It's going to help in my home. It's going to help in the office. It's going to help on wherever it may be and whatever may be taking place. That peace that I have with God, it makes a difference. How many can testify to that? You can testify to that. It just changes who you are. And when I talk about following the heart, so goes the heart. When I approach this old world that you and I live in today, I want to follow it in such a manner. When I seek the Lord and when I turn to him and I experience the peace that only he can give, it makes a difference in so many things. Because how many of you know there are so many things out there that are trying to take your peace? Trying to get you angry, trying to get you frustrated, trying to get you depressed, trying to get you to think that you're just not going to be able to pull through, trying to think that life's just going to overwhelm you, trying to get you to think that there's no matter what you do, you're just not going to ever get to the place where you think you really want to be. Can I tell you, God will give you a peace that overcomes all of that type of thinking. And that's what we need in our lives. There are too many Christians today walking around not at peace where they need to be with God, and they're allowing the world to control their thoughts and allowing the world to control that, or maybe I should just say just that atmosphere around them and that demeanor around them. Can I tell you, let's let that peace of God help us rise above all of that. This is a really silly example, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because that's what I'm thinking of right now. I was thinking about it earlier. Peace just helps you to overcome just the foolishness, the silliness, the anger, the frustration. Even though that stuff is still there around you, it just helps you to be like, hey, you know what? I'm okay. How many of you know sometimes when you're just driving down old Highway 51, it's not that peaceful? For me, I quit going that way because I was tired of being tempted. You know, I pretty much go down 145th all the time, you know, here the back way to Broken Arrow. Go to back way to Broken Arrow, the speed limit is 45 miles an hour. How many of you know that no matter where you're at, it's hard to drive 45 miles an hour? Our foot is just not made that way. Our guest from England, I mean, you guys, I think, have a little bit different take on driving. Man, we need some of that over here, all right? I mean, you just 45 miles an hour. Then I've even set my cruise control. Pastor Jackie and I talked about that. I just set my cruise control on that because it's just so hard to do sometimes. But I want to do it because my neighbor's a highway patrolman. He's already pulled over my daughter and my wife. So make him, they didn't get tickets. They didn't get tickets. And my insurance guy sitting right there telling me I'm good. All right, I'm good right now. But not always was I such a peaceful driver. Because you just let the little things get you. You know what it's like when someone gets behind you and they're trying to get so close just to let you know that they are there, right? None of you have ever done that, but how many's ever been in that position, right? Right? Some of you did it this morning. Shame on you, all right? You know, used to. You know, you got all this stuff going on, and a silly example. But if I'm not at peace on the inside, and I've got my mind on all these things, and I'm allowing this silly person behind me, you know, and maybe I am. I'm driving slow. I'm driving the speed limit. There's a lot of hills. There's a lot of, you know, entrances and exits coming out that road. So that's why it's 45 miles an hour. So I'm like, hey, I just need to do this. When I'm not at peace within and I'm driving kind of aggressively, it makes a difference because if someone's on me like that, I'm like, oh, look, there's a deer. And I slam on those brakes just to make sure I don't hit that deer, only to realize it was just a large mosquito. But anyway, I just, you know, go on. That's really not maybe the healthiest way to drive, causing the person behind you to go into instant shock because they don't know if they're going to hit the tree or the telephone pole behind them. So you know what I do now? I've just learned through Michelle's teaching and preaching and praying the word of God over my driving. No matter whether I'm in the church car, it makes a difference when you're driving and it's got the church's name on the side of it. Sometimes I'm like, oops, okay, yeah, anyway. When you're at peace, when I'm at peace driving, beautiful fall day, windows down, music cranked, someone gets up on me, I just pull over. I'm like, Lord, let them go. Just let them go. May they be safe to wherever they're going. Then I pull back on the road and I take off. That is silly. But can I tell you, for me, that's kind of what the peace I'm talking about. There's a lot of things that can just try to get you in the moment. And if you allow them to, they're going to wreak havoc on you. Because if you drive aggressively like I had done, possibly there had been an accident. That would have been horrible for everybody involved. Don't want to do that. But when you can just stop for a moment and say, hey, there's bigger things right now I have to think about. On many of those times, I'm traveling the back way, headed to St. Francis, going to see someone in the hospital, someone that's battling for their life perhaps. That's way more important than this person driving behind me, trying to let me know that they're there. And so you let that peace inside of you say, you know what? yeah, there's a lot of junk that's going on around me, but I'm just going to put my mind, I'm going to turn my heart towards God. And even with all the stuff that's happening around me, I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to be at peace, and I'm going to be steady along the way because I've got God on my side leading me. Amen. That's what God wants to do in our lives. We can't take away all the junk around us, but boy, we can certainly experience all that God has for us. Now, because of the spiritual awakening that's taken place, King Asa and the people of Judah, they're experiencing some really good times. Spiritually, they've been renewed. Physically, they're at rest. Their land's at rest. They're increasing their cities. There's a lot of good that is happening. You see, they sought the Lord, and they found him, and they listened to him, and they obeyed him. And when they just followed that simple concept, it's not rocket science, church. When they just sought him, found him, listened, and obeyed, they experienced a vertical peace that led to this incredible horizontal peace that only he could give. Now, taking us back to that passage, I want you to see something because I think it is important. And I've already kind of, you know, went there a little bit. That is, it said that the Lord gave them rest on every side. It didn't say the Lord took away their enemies. Because I want you to know during those 10 years, even though the enemy was fearing what God was doing, the enemy was still encamped around their cities in their own towns. The enemy was always there. And when a moment came, the Ethiopian king, he thought he had a moment. When he came against God, God took him out. Took a million men out in that battle. God took him out. No matter how fierce the battle is, no matter how much you may be, you feel like the odds are stacked against you, can I tell you, with God on your side, you will always prevail. You will always prevail. So the enemy was still there. While they were in that time of peace, I think this is interesting. I don't know if you see this or not, but this is kind of how I took it. A lot of times when things are good in our life, that's when sometimes our prayers are not as intentional. And our prayers don't have as much fervency. We even slip back in our service of the Lord. We may even take it back as far as to slip in our attendance and slip in the things that God would have us do. There's just different things that we'll do sometimes, not everybody, but when everything's going good, it's really easy sometimes to fall into complacent mode. And here's what I love about King Asa and the people. They weren't perfect, but man, he really sought God with all of his heart. And in doing so, in those years of peace, he didn't get complacent. The people didn't get complacent, but they made their cities even stronger, and they increased the amount of warriors that they have, and they became mighty men of valor as they trained. You see, they prepared themselves for what God had given them because they knew there would be a day coming when God would ask them to use those things. God would fight for them. God would always be there with them. God would always help them along the way. But God didn't want them to be lazy. He certainly didn't want them to be spiritually lazy. He wanted them to have that fervency and that desire and that attention to say, okay, every day is a gift from God. Every day is a day that God has given us. So my mind and my heart better be in the right place. So I'm just going to keep preparing myself. And when the day comes and God needs me to step up, I'll be ready. Not caught off guard. And I see that when I see King Asa and how he's dealing with the men and the women of the land in which he is ruling over. There would be a day when the attacks would come again. But even then, if their hearts remained in the right place, they wouldn't be caught off guard and they would still experience that peace and the victory that only God could give. Now allow me here just to give you the rest of the benefits that I see in the passage, and I'll give them to you as a whole. We see here all in this passage, God's provision. We see God's prosperity. We see God's protection, and we see his power. In chapter 14, in verse number 7, in the second half of this, it says they built, they prospered. It talks about how God provided and how they built up their land and built up their army. And then we see in verse number 9, when Zerah, he came about them, God, he still has his protection all about them because their hearts were in the right place. And when the time came, I love what happened. When those million men came against King Asa, Judah, Benjamin, what happened? He cries to the Lord. And he recognized there was a multitude. There was a multitude coming against him. So they were the mighty, and he realized that they were the weak. And he cried out to God, and God honored that, and God blessed him. And they took them, of course, that day. We see the power of God at work. In chapter 15, verse 1, the Spirit of God comes upon Azariah as he prophesies into the life, into the heart of King Asa. And King Asa received that, and he even bettered himself as he continued to lead the people. So when you and I read this passage together this morning, we cannot help but see all the benefits, all the blessings unfolding when the people of God begin to seek him with all their heart. So as I get ready to take us into prayer, here's something I want to leave you with. Once our heart is reformed, when we allow the Lord to place the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, once our heart is reformed, what we will find in the Old Testament scripture and in the New Testament, we will find that peace always follows. And once that peace is in place, we see that the other blessings will begin to flow in abundance. As I was really thinking about that thought, I see a lot of people, even today, they're searching for good things. The passion, the fervor, the clarity, the victory, the freedom, a breakthrough in their marriage, a breakthrough with their children, a breakthrough in their finances. They're searching for the right things and they want the right things. And I'll see people come into the church and boy, they go after it. They're moved by the worship. They're moved by the atmosphere. They're moved by everything that's going on. And boy, they want that. And there's nothing wrong with wanting that. They want that. But they seek after all these things and they're seeking after an experience. They're seeking after an emotion. They're seeking after these things that like, boy, if I just do this, if I'll just come and if I'll just get faithful and I'll do this, man, my life will begin to change. And all of that is good. But what I want you to see is sometimes what I see a lot of people missing is the first step. And that is just to seek Jesus. Just to seek Jesus. Because when you seek him, you may find that you've been seeking the wrong things. Because when you just put your heart and your mind on Jesus and you just ask him for his direction and ask him for his will and ask him for his purpose and allow his word to speak to you, and if you're sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life, when you just seek Jesus, you will find that peace begins to build up inside of your life. And then when you have that peace built up inside of you, that's when everything else just begins to flow. Because if you're seeking everything else, it can be short-lived. You may find it for a moment, but it's short-lived because you haven't been transformed within. And when a person is truly transformed within, there's no going back to any other life. They're going full steam ahead for Jesus Christ, right? Now, the struggles of life are real. The emotions that you and I have to deal with, they're real. You're going to have to get up, and many of you are going to have to drive on Highway 51 tomorrow. I cannot take that away, or 145th. There's so many things that are very real. But can I tell you, when you just put your heart towards the Lord every day, Lord, may my heart, it's like David. I love reading the Psalms of David. Even when you read of his son's words in Solomon, in the Proverbs, I'm going to go back and read it. I'm going to circle every time I see the word heart because it is in there so many times, so many times. When your heart has a desire to seek Jesus and make him the first and foremost in your life, man, it changes everything. And no matter what I'm going through, I can go through it with a peace and a confidence. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.